Galatians chapter 5, turn your Bibles.
Good to see you today. Those of us are here, let's pray that
everybody get back home safely. And I'm not trying to rush time, but I'll be glad when Christmas is here and gone and get into another year. And think about church instead of going all the time, you know. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord and glad that you are here. Pray for those that are not and just pray God to get them safely. And get them back home safe and sound. Galatians chapter 5. Now, we've already looked at these. I'm not going to read it. I was going to read it and then go back for instance, but I'll just read it one time here, but slowly. Back up, beginning in verse 17, we have the fruit of the flesh. What happens when Satan rules and reigns? He has control of us, and we're performing the works of the flesh. But we reach verse 22, and the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Let me pause. That's the inward state of you and me as a child of God. Love, joy, peace. It's not the first time I've said this. I'm just doing it for emphasis. And then there's long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. This is expression toward others. Expression toward others. Then there's faith, meekness, temperance. And this has to do with our character and expression toward God. Tremendous. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture right here. And he says, against such there is no law, the remaining part of verse 23, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now we go back to verse 23, and we have reached the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Meekness. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father, thank you for this time to stand here behind this sacred desk again. Excited. Been looking forward to it. I just want to be able to give forth a word of God to these that are here today and those that are viewing online. We thank you, Lord, for that. Welcome each one of them. Pray our services will help make their day a bright one. God, I pray you'll just Holy Spirit move in our work, in our services here today, special way, especially that person maybe here that's never trusted Christ, don't know for sure they're going to heaven. And then those that are yours and know they're going to heaven, but need the encouragement and strength that we need to continue on for your glory. Father, we'll thank you, we'll praise you for your blessings and all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit in the believer. The Holy Spirit in the believer. Now I could just right here, just pause. It may be the day in which we're living. It could be a combination of things that makes me aware and at the same time burdened about you and me letting the Holy Spirit of God have His way in your life and mine. If we're not letting him have his way, then we're letting Satan have his way, and we're living in the energies of the flesh. And that's not good. Of course, the Holy Spirit, go back to wherever you were. You don't have to remember the day or time, but just where you were when you got saved. Remember. Remember where you were? Got it? Everybody got it? Holy Spirit come to live in your heart that moment. He moved in when you got saved. He came to be a very vital part of your life. He even says, without me, you can do nothing. That's what happened there that day. We read that in 1 Corinthians 6:20. And when that happened, he baptizes. I like the word births. He births the believer into the body of Christ. that individual becomes a child of God. And not only that, but he seals the believer. In Ephesians 4:30, we're told this. He seals the believer to the day of redemption until you're taken home. You're sealed until the day of redemption. The Lord comes, catches us up, ever be with the Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is, listen to what I'm about to say. The fruit of the Spirit is the normal Christian experience. Oh my. Never gotten over it? I know you're tired of hearing me say that, but I haven't. When I got saved, but it was nothing other than just the normal Christian experience. I gave my heart to Christ. I repented of my sin and asked Christ to come into my heart, and he did. Normal Christian experience. And so this is the fruit of the Spirit. The life that you're now living in the Spirit, he's the one that's doing the leading. And he wants you and me. And of course, without the Word of God, we can't do that. But there's this matter of meekness when we come to know Christ as our personal Savior. I believe it's like all the other traits, that we grow in the Lord, we mature, Lord helps us, and he gives us leadership and guidance and wisdom as we ask him. Oh, don't ever pray without asking God for wisdom. I need wisdom. You need wisdom. We all do to be able to live for the Lord, do as he wants us to do. Meekness. This word has to do with a patient and gentle disposition. Meekness. A patient and gentle disposition. We could also say this, that meekness is humble submissiveness to the will of God. Nothing's more important in your life and mine, folks, than the will of God. Are you listening? Than the will of God. I shudder to think, you know, it's possible. I still live in this old flesh, it's possible, but I just can't imagine getting to a place where I'm not submissive to God. I can't comprehend that. I know we're in this flesh, but the Word of God teaches you and me that we can be what God wants you and me to be victorious, and be a real soldier for Jesus Christ. We can. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Absolutely. Now, the three things today that I want to share with you. The meek learner, the meek leader, and the meek lamb. In James, hold your place here with me and go to James chapter 1. I'm going to look at verse 21. James 1 and verse 21. Notice what he says to us here. I would take the time to read all the verses before, but I don't really think that's necessary right now. Verse 21, James chapter 1. Wherefore, as a result of the foregoing, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. This word has to do with abundance. Lay aside whatever it is of naughtiness and receive, watch it, with meekness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. What a verse of scripture. Oh, it really is. Receiving God's word with meekness. In other words, patiently and in a gentle way, and of course, here it is again, submissiveness to the things of the Lord. I don't ever want to get over remembering when I got saved. No, sir. I know the Lord wants us to grow, and I believe I have a little bit. We go on, but I just want to begin to grow and to learn and to take in God's word in a way that will honor and glorify Him. And then in humility, not only receive the word of God with meekness, but as humble as we know how, receive what God has to say to us. God has something to say to you and me here in this church today. You have that, right? He does. He does. And we need what He's going to say, okay? And to be able to do that, there's got to be the absence of pride. And I'm getting ready to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to lift your hand. Don't do that. Don't do that. But the absence of pride, and of course we know with pride, the opposite of pride, being prideful, is the opposite of rebellion. Rebellion. Oh my. Receiving what God has to receiving what He has to say to us, and we can't receive what He has and maintain this matter of pride. You know what Psalm says about that, I believe, in Psalm 37. To do away with that. And we're not going to rebel against God, but we're going to go on and follow Him. So you see, to receive God's word, we've got to take it in. If someone were to ask you this afternoon at about 1:30, what did the preacher preach this morning? Could you tell them? Oh, well, you may come up with this matter of meekness, but could you give them the main points of the message? In other words, if we're not really careful, we don't really take it in. We're listening. And there are people that wanted the service to start on time because they wanted to end on time. Well, you know, I always try to follow what I believe the Holy Spirit would have us to do. And sometimes, rarely, but sometimes I go over at the time that I normally do. But folks, we've just opened and we're breaking forth the bread of life here. And there's not a person in this building that doesn't need it. No one watching that doesn't need what we're saying here today. To take it in, what are we going to have to do? We've got to read it regularly and prayerfully. I don't know if I'll tell you this. But every night before I go to bed while my dear wife was still here, we'd read the Bible. Well, she got to the point where she couldn't. But I did. And I still do. It's something I believe the Lord wants me to do. How comforting it is to read the Bible regularly. And not just regularly, but read it prayerfully. God, please help me to understand what I'm reading. To be able to apply it to my life. And it calls for hearing the Bible consistently. Hearing the Bible. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Word of God has to say. And it calls not only hearing the Bible consistently, because, now listen to what I'm about to say. What about listening with the heart? Oh, yeah. In other words, I need this. I need to take this in and it affect and move and work in my heart. And let me just add the word soul. In my heart and soul. The Word of God to work and to do what He wants to do with my life. It's like little children learning new things. Ever give a baby a child? Linda, I bet you now she's at the place. You give her a new, not Linda, the other one. Give them a new toy. What do? They take it. One of the first things they do is throw it down. But then they want it back. They want it. They want to look at it. And they want to see what it is. Understand what it is. And begin to it be a part of their daily life. And then there's something else we need to do. I could spend more time here, but eager to do the will of God, whatever the cost. What does it cost to serve the Lord? What does it cost? I believe Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary, did he not? Sure he did. But then, whatever it cost, the Bible teaches us, yes, it does, to die to self. Let God have and to do with our lives that which he desires. And in the way in which he wants to use us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Okay? Got to be first. Then all these other things, they take their place as we follow the Lord, as we prayerfully seek his will. He'll help us and we can do that. And just total concentration on what God says to us. Make yourself available to the things of the Lord. In your car. Play, if you still can play CD in your car or a thumb drive or whatever it is, put music on there or a message or whatever it is on your way to work, on the way home, whatever it is. It just may be that some of you are listening to a lot of that mess on there you don't need to be listening to. It's not helping you. It's not helping you. Matter of fact, it's hindering your Christian growth in the Lord. Don't need that. So we want to learn. We want to take in. And just eliminate all the carnal input that's coming into our lives. Thought about that? The things of the flesh, that's what that word carnal means. How do we eliminate that and take in the things that God has for us. And just welcoming Bible truth. Just welcoming what thus saith the Lord. So that makes us a meek learner. And as we learn, we grow, okay? Let me go on here to the next point. The meek leader. A meek leader. Turn with me back to the book of Numbers, chapter 12. Numbers, chapter 12. Just go read one verse here. Very short verse, actually. Verse 3, when God had spoken to Moses. Verse 3 of Numbers chapter 12, it says, now the man Moses was what? Very meek. See that? Above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Above all the men, God says, which were upon the face of the earth. He was very meek. It was a trait that God no doubt had given to him. Moses was the meekest man of all. But now, let me say this before I go on. Meekness does not mean that an individual is not strong. Being meek doesn't make an individual a wimp. After all, the Bible tells us to stand, and having done all, to stand on the things of God. You can be firm, you can be strong, and you can do it with kindness. You're just not going to compromise, you're just not going to give in. You may have loved ones who still don't know the Lord, and they have a right to see something in you that makes them desire to know the Lord. By the way, if they don't see it in you, who are they going to see it in? I was accused of being an evangelist, a preacher boy, all that kind of thing by my family. And I didn't think I was acting that way. But it was totally different from the way they were acting. And so they saw the difference. That's another story, another day. God's been so good. Moses, meekest man of all. Here's the man that would face Pharaoh. You know, it just may be, as you and me live our lives, that the day may come that you and I will be called upon to stand before someone that if we let them, they would intimidate us. But you and me need to be, it might be the boss at work, it might be the teacher at school, it could be any number of folks that I won't think about right now. I've always said that I didn't want to be ashamed of the Lord. And by the grace of God, I'm not going to. You shouldn't either. But again, with the meekness that we need, not with arrogancy and with any type of reaction that would not be Christian. You know, you and me can be Christian and be strong. We can. We can be a child of God and be one of those soldiers of His that has on the whole armor. And we can just go right on for God and He'll bless us as we do that. Oh, He will. He will. And be meek at the same time. And of course, this man Moses was the one that would also deliver God's people. Let me ask you this question to further illustrate what I'm talking about. Have you ever been confused about what it takes to make a leader? Just what a kind of individual have I got to be a leader? What kind of person have you got to be? I'm probably speaking to some supervisors or people, job, but you're leading several individuals and that kind of thing. So what kind of person do you have to be? You have to be arrogant. Have to be nasty? Have a bad attitude? No. No. You can be a leader, and you can be a firm leader, as God would have you do it, and be effective. Well, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. If any other thing would not be pleasing to the Lord, not at all. Leaders don't really have to be dynamic, as we would use that vernacular. Leaders do not have to be dictatorial. Not at all. Don't have to be that way. Humility is more important than impressive credentials, somebody said. Submission to God's will is more important than public relations. Meekness. And you know, with the grace of God is the only way we can do it. And by the leadership, of course, of the Holy Spirit, as we follow Him and follow there, people know. They know there's something different about you and me, and they will respect us for it. But you've got to be consistent in whatever it is you're doing. You can't be one thing one day, somebody else the next day. Got to be consistent. God will bless you for it. Let me ask you this question. I get to the next point. We're mostly finished up here. Maybe pride has been keeping you from God's best. Boy, this old thing called pride. Oh, my. Who am I? I ask myself this on occasion in a certain circumstance, situations. I say, who am I? And I answer me this way. A sinner saved by God's grace. That's who I am. That's all I am. And I'm happy with that. But I want to be that one that's been saved by grace, be different than I was before I gave my heart to Christ. That's really the desire of every one of us. But I hope pride hadn't been keeping you from God's best. I don't think it's wrong for me and you to watch for signs of meekness in ourselves and others. I don't think it's wrong. We're not being judgmental. I can tell you when someone is growing in the Lord, and I've said this before. Down through the years, I've seen people, adults, and even younger individuals. I'm not talking about children now, but just people in general, they give their hearts to the Lord, and it's amazing to see how God just takes control. Kind of like the co-pilot reaching over and taking the stick from the pilot and says, "Here, let me drive." We get saved, Holy Spirit says, "Here, give me the stick, let me drive." He'll never crash you. You'll arrive at your destination safe and sound. Oh, yes, you will. But it'll not make us prideful. It'll keep us meek. Oh, he's a good teacher to do that. I want you to turn with me to a familiar passage found in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. It's the end of the chapter, the last three verses. You know them. Once we get there, you'll recognize them when we begin to read. Yeah, the meek learner, the meek leader, and the meek lamb. Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Did you write in there the last time when we read this? And I said, write in the word peace right there. That's what that word rest means, our peace. "Take my yoke upon you." That's God's will, his yoke. "And learn of me." Oh, what a command that is right there. Learn of me. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." There's that word again, but it's peace unto your souls. "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Yeah, Jesus said, "I am meek." He was the Lamb of God, we're told, of course, in John 1:29. Absolutely. What could be more meek than a lamb? And I think I said something about it in a previous sermon, but just real quickly, there's something about a little lamb. As a boy, I experienced that. I mean, just shortly after they were born, and there they were. And of course, they're all born hungry, you know, just like puppies and kittens and all that kind. But I mean, there it is. And then in 2 or 3 days, I mean, just a beautiful little animal to look at. Innocent. Mom will do what she can do to keep it clean for a while. But there it is. A little lamb. God said, a lamb for a sacrifice. Lamb for sacrifice. Jesus, we know, did not resist crucifixion. Matter of fact, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 21 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1. Start reading in verse 21. "Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned," that word unfeigned just simply means sincere, "love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible," excuse me, "by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto." And Jesus said, not on occasion, Luke 22, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." His will should be of utmost importance in your life and mine. The will of the Lord. Just following Him, doing what He would have us to do. I want to ask you a question to help us illustrate what we're talking about here. Of course, we know that Jesus was the supreme example of meekness when He was on this earth. We know that. Let me ask you this, to further illustrate as I close. Are you always demanding your way? I'm serious with you now. Whether you do it politely or meekly or whatever, but you're going to have your way. Sometimes it might be well let someone else have their way. This might be. You have trouble getting along with others? Do you get all upset and angry when things don't go your way? You remember, Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I'm sure Paul, being a human being, he would be the first to admit that there were times he failed his Lord. I don't know that he ever went into any detail about it, but he did love the Lord. If we die and die to self, that's one of the things we do. Die to self. When you pray. And by the way, when you pray, you can talk to the Holy Spirit. He's right there in you. You can talk to Him. And just ask Him to give you a spirit of meekness. Then as you read your Bible, you hear it preached, Sunday school, taught, wherever it is, or God is speaking to you, and He'll help you to do exactly that. And the Holy Spirit, He'll produce the meekness of the Lord in your heart. As He will. As He will. In spite of others, in spite of anything else, or anyone else. If we're sincere in following the Lord, wanting to be this part as well as the other grace of the Holy Spirit, God will help us do it exactly like He wants it done. But we've got to be submissive. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.